listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today. We are two guys, one
cup. Everyone relax. This is Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
And I heard you say and. I should have yes-ended your end. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I mean, I don't normally say and, you normally say
I know,
and.
But I thought you hadn't done it. You kept going. You said.
It was a bit of an andover. I was like, trying to do a bit
it's
of
it's like an Anderson specialty. It's an andover.
Yeah, the Anderson handover is the andover. No, you know what it was?
What?
It was a bit of just in my brain when I was like, I'm Will Anderson, and the end was kind of like an invitation for you to speak, even though normally in the structural style we start these episodes,
I know when to
you
speak.
Just speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just go, and I'm Charlie Clawson.
Have you, I know you've done a little bit of acting in your time, but have you ever acted with someone who mouths your dialogue back to you? Like sometimes there are certain actors who...
I've never done that amount of acting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's very disconcerting when you work with an actor who has learnt not only their lines but your lines. And as you were talking to them, so for people listening, I just mouthed words at Will. That's what some actors do. It's a strange habit.
I did work with Jason Donovan on The Glass House, who would read ahead on the auto cue, and during one of the jokes, leant in halfway through the joke and said, this is a good one.
I remember in Big Brother, welcome to our AFL adjacent podcast.
This is our AFL adjacent podcast, Two Guys, One Cup.
I remember there was a season of Big Brother where it became kind of a thing to do when you were evicted from the house and Gretel was interviewing you.
Oh, yeah.
To start reading ahead on the auto cue to the point where, like, it's like, you know, in wrestling when they started saying, yelling, what, and the wrestlers had to work out how do you circumvent a what chant. Gretel had to work out how to stop the guest from reading ahead on the auto cue.
It is the ultimate in trying to wrestle your control back from being in the Big Brother house and not being able to have any control over your life. Like, again, I think we might have talked about this before, but it might have been – in a podcast that people haven't heard, maybe you're listening for the first time. The idea about AFL pre-seasons and how we prepare the players, we've talked about the idea that you quite like all that information and I'm not really particularly interested. And the reason that I'm not particularly interested is that it doesn't feel like it has enough storylines or stakes attached to it. And I quite like the storylines and stakes that are attached to it. But if we were to AFL preseason style, if they're already doing these are the teams at training, is there a point where we just, like, I'm not talking about locking down a team for a full, like, but you could do like maybe 1 week or every second week or whatever, it could be a different club, for example. So essentially in the preseason, every single club at one stage has to essentially have all their players living in the one place, and you follow along the sort of very much the day-to-day. It gets cut into this a pre-season storyline, dramas,
Will,
you know, issues in the house,
Will,
that sort of thing.
It's a great idea. You should just watch Making Their Mark, because that was made during COVID. So essentially what you had was a documentary crew locked in with various clubs, following them as they stayed in the hub. It was essentially the Big Brother house.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying is let's not lose that just because the pandemic's not happening anymore. Yeah. I'm saying let's legislate that, like, once, you know, like, or is
one
it a different
round.
Club in a different priest? Like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Gather round?
Storyline round.
Big Brother round.
Yeah.
We want a Big Brother round. So, and in Big Brother round, every team is put into a house for a week. They're all mic'd up. They have no phones or anything like that, and they have to do like normal training. It's a normal like training block before a game on the weekend. But we get to see all the ins and outs of it, and, you know, the kind of, you know, which players are bunk mates, you know, who likes who, that kind of stuff. Who's going to be turkey slapping who? Turkey slapping instead of through the roof, I imagine.
I've got an idea. Instead of it being like a full club operation like that,
yeah,
we're always talking about what do you do with the teams that aren't in the finals, right? So come the finals, we're looking for more football content. Everybody's got their eyes on the AFL. So if your team doesn't make the finals, you have to nominate, like, how many people do you want in like a Big Brother house at the same time? Probably like 20, 12? Right, maximum.
Oh, 20, okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So like, so you have 10 teams that don't make the finals.
Yeah.
Each of them has to nominate two people to immediately go into this like footy finals Big Brother house.
One where incentive we can then, to play like, well. So you don't get nominated for the Big Brother house.
But every time your team's eliminated, so like there is intruders and stuff like that. That'll be like, you know, the Swans get eliminated. So two of their players have to like go into the house. And then it's like Big Brother style. You've got two people from each club on an end of season. Because like to give it that Big Brother party house style, like this is at the end of their season. But the season itself, if they'd played better, yeah, they would have still been like playing in the finals. But yeah, instead they're like locked in this Big Brother style house.
Yeah. Do we call it Big Brother or do we call it Big Smother?
Big Smother. Great. I love it. We call it Big Smother and it runs concurrently to the finals on Fox Footy. And like, I like this.
I know we're sort of half joking, but like Fox Footy is always looking for a tie-in every year, right? It's always themed. They want something. Make this the year of Big Smother, where concurrently with the finals,
what we do in the Big Smother house, you nominate the two players you're most concerned about in the off season, right? Because this way they get to party. But it's all being monitored by cameras 24/7. So it's actually like a safe party environment. And then suddenly you've got a house with Dustin Martin and Jordan DeGoey and Bailey Smith. And this is like a fun time.
I was just going to say, like mid-year, they have a mid-year break, right, when the teams go on bye. So rather than like Collingwood's always like just really nervous when DeGoey heads over to Bali, instead of sending to Bali, send him to the Big Brother house for bye week. So we can do one in the middle of the year and one concurrently with finals. Or maybe we select the finals Big Brother house from you can, bye rounds.
Yes, that's true. Because you can do like all the things you can do in Bali, you can do in the Big Brother house, right? It's pretty much a similar experience, like going into the Big Brother house and going to Bali. So this is like perfect for that style of footballer who wants a full Bali experience, but in the safety of a house on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. And can we mix in like AFLW as well? So they can nominate. So because it's their... Because it is their off season, and then the stakes are higher for them. Because when we do the finals one, the men's finals one, they're going into preseason, so they can't put a foot wrong.
Yeah, that's good. I like
but
that.
But they're still going to take part in all the games and stuff.
Look, there's some kinks to iron out, but I think it's a great
idea. Fox, give us a call. This is our second of our team season previews. We're doing three teams a week until we get to round one when they bounce that bill.
I think we got a cease and desist from last episode.
All right.
In the 5-minute break we took between recording these episodes, I believe we got a cease and desist. Even though the episode hasn't gone out yet, Braden's lawyers found out about it and have given us a cease and desist on saying bounce that bill.
We're going to talk about the Saints today, my beloved Saints. So the questions will go over to you, Will, because I am quite aware of who our captain is.
Ross Lyon.
Correct.
Ross Lyon is the coach.
Yep.
Simon Lethlean is and will forever be the CEO. No.
I mean, when someone resigns effective immediately, how much smoke is coming out of that?
I mean, what I have noticed is since Ross arrived, there's a lot of people who have decided of their absolute own volition and nobody else's volition to leave the club quickly.
Effective immediately.
Effective immediately. So anyway, that's fine. I'm sure it's all absolutely fine. But so Ross Lyon's a coach.
Yep.
The captain is Jack Steele, I imagine.
Correct.
Steele. Is he the only captain of the Saints?
Yeah.
And
solid captain.
The best and fairest. I reckon it's going to be one of your two, like, back people. Jack Sinclair probably, I imagine, won the St Kilda Best and Fairest, but it could be the other good back.
The old Australian fullback, Callum Wilkie.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, Callum Wilkie.
Put some goddamn respect on his name. He's the old Australian fullback. Yes, Jack Sinclair.
Well, I reckon it'd be one of those two would be my suggestion for who would have won the Best and Fairest.
Do you want to know how the Saints voting works? We'll continue that from last week.
Yes, please.
So five coaches give a ranking.
We give out one vote every 3 weeks.
It's when we remember. It's St Kilda. So this is the poll. This is, you know, like I had a real problem with Sydney last year. This, to me, just speaks to the difference between the two clubs. As we found out last week, the Swans voting system is the coaches have got 50 votes. Each coach has 50 votes to hand out.
It's
during
like
a
giving
game,
out
maximum
currency
10 per
in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, just like it's so ostentatious and so Sydney. Now, let's see how they do things down in Moorabbin. Five coaches give a ranking from 1 to 4 after each game.
1 to 4?
Yeah.
Not even 1 to 5.
With players being able to receive a maximum – hang on. Oh, they give them a ranking of 1 to 4, with players being able to receive a maximum of 20 votes per game. So they get 20 votes, but you can
– oh, yeah, because there's five. Yeah. There's 5 fours available. So you can get 20 maximum.
Yeah.
Sydney was 50 maximum.
So Jack Steele –
so I guess that's like –
Jack Sinclair, sorry, only just – won that from Callum Wilkie, not like the other blowouts I've heard about. And then can you guess who came in third? A lot of talk around
one
him.
One of your new young players, Caminiti.
No, it was our Ruckman. A lot of talk about maybe
Rowan
he
Marshall.
Should have been the Australian, correct. And then Mitch Owens at fourth and Nasiah Wanganeen-Malera in five. Exciting times.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
All right, let's talk about the Saints. No one likes us. Everyone hates us. Think we'll go and eat worms. That is my vibe, is that no one believes what happened last year is sustainable. It was Ross ruining the game by getting all fucking defensive and shit and just not letting the opposition score at will, like, you know, you're meant to do in Aussie rules.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling, because I feel like last year was a sugar hit. I feel like there is work to do, and that's what they're doing at the moment. They're assembling their list. And there is every chance that we could slip, and it might be a big slip this year because I still think they're trying to work out who can play and who can't play.
Well, and also with first-year players, some of the ones who came on, like, I mean, it's great if they then – like, well, that's what I mean. Like those ones who burst onto the scene, like sometimes you
they
can
get
then
found
have
out,
a kind of
tagged.
Readjustment.
Correct. Yeah. So I don't think we'd go bottom four like some are saying. I think we're still in the middle six. I'd be surprised if we got into the top four. I think we're very much middle of the table team still.
Yes. I mean, look, could I see you finishing sixth? Sure. But can I see you finishing fifth to first? No. So I'm going to go.
How about this? Could you see us finishingly convincingly sixth though? Like we were seventh last year and everyone was like, don't believe it. Like six is only one place higher. I don't think anyone who didn't believe us last year would give us like anything more for seventh either. I think if we are going to impress anyone, it has to be like just outside the four, like out on the seventh or something.
That's not going to happen though. You shouldn't set your
expectations. No. I'm not saying that's what I think, but I think that's the only way we're going
to
win.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I actually think it's, if you manage to do it again, like whether it's like sixth, seventh or eighth, I still think that is a proof of something, right? If in these readjusting years, because they are clearly like readjusting years, if you can be making the finals and like getting finals experience in like while you are still working out like what the future of the club is, then I mean, that's an amazing result. I think anyone who expects anything better than what you did last season has their expectations set too high. But could you replicate what you did last season? It's not like everything went perfectly for the Saints.
No,
season.
We had 14.
You could have a better run at things.
We had no forward line last year for like the better part of the year. Like King and Membry were out for most of the year. Like Machito Owens, the reason he came on so well is because he had to play forward. Hey, can you just hold on 1 sec? I've just got to check on. What's going on? We are two guys, one car. Sorry for that. My daughter needed to find Gabby's dollhouse, and I've sorted that problem because that's what I do. I'm a problem solver. Just on the Saints, Will, I have a bit of track watching info that I wanted to get your opinion on, because this was dropped into the WhatsApp I'm part of. This was someone down watching Open Training the other day. Training Tidbit, it's called. Caminiti was just wrapping up running what felt like 10 or so laps of RSEA Park, absolutely gassed. He got to the finish line and collapsed in exhaustion. Ross Lyon saw and started strolling over. Get up. Don't be so dramatic. Hammer's still on the deck. Get up. Get up. We don't fucking do that here. Hammer gets up. Ross starts walking away slowly, with the occasional look over his shoulder back at him. Pretty unreal to see how Ross demands 150%, but also respect of the group, even if it seemed playful at first, how serious he was. Get up. Now, the debate amongst the WhatsApp, I was like, does that kind of coaching fly today? And I didn't read it as being anything particularly abusive. Like, he's not personally, he's yelling at him, but he's not sort of like, he's not personally attacking the player. He's just saying, these are the standards. Don't be so dramatic. It's kind of like when Fly told the players after that close loss, like, we don't collapse to the ground. Like, we're not losers. Get up.
Yeah, I mean, it's more the implied threat, isn't it? It's more like the hardest guy in the pub doesn't need to tell you that he's hard. You can just tell from the general manager, the general demeanor was what I was trying to say. Can I speak to the general manager, please? No, the general.
Can I speak to General Pants? I believe, like, he's the leader of the Pants Army.
So, you know, the general demeanor of the person is like, you know, like, that person can say, you're weak as piss, and that comes across as the most vile of all insights, or, you know, what it, so I think that that's what I, Ross has that aura about him that you don't want Ross to think that you are.
But do you think weak, like, right? is that like an old school coaching thing? Like, were you surprised? Yes. You think that feels old fashioned to like yell at a player to get
up? Ross is a bit old fashioned. You're not getting, well, I don't think you can yell at them to get up anymore.
Oh, really?
Right? But can you, like, do what Ross is doing and get inside their head? Like, can you be the, you know, like, Ross has got a bit more. Exactly. They wheel Ross out. Like,
do you hear the lambs, Caminiti? Do you hear them? I see you there in your cheap shoes. And your fake rookie player draft contract. Okay. So let's move on from the Saints to focus on the Tigers, who are an interesting prospect. Particularly, the most interesting thing, Will, is who is their captain and who is their coach.
Adam Uzay would be their coach. Their captain is interesting because...
Who is there left anymore?
Cochin is gone and Riewoldt is gone. Dylan...
No.
No, he's like a backman. No. Like, is it a backman?
No.
Is it like... Tom Lynch. Is Tom Lynch their captain?
No. Let me give you a two guys, one cup classic Charlie Clawson clue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. I'm just rubbing my Fu Manchu as I think of what this clue is going to be. It's
Toby.
Oh, damn it. I was trying to work out how I could work Uncle Toby's and Nang's into a clue.
I absolutely 100% knew you were going to go with Nang's. So
I couldn't work out how do you curve a name? Like,
then what would they call it?
Okay, and who was their best and fairest from last year?
Oh, God.
I'll tell you how their voting system works and then maybe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tell me
their voting system. The match committee gives players a rating from 0 to 5 based on their overall match performance, taking into account offensive, defensive, and contest impacts. That sounds like they got that directly from the guy who does stats, the Richmond Football Club.
Tim Tarrant.
Correct. Yes. He came second.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
Not hard when you think about it.
Hey, Dustin Martin.
Correct. And then third is a probably
Bolton.
Yes, you're good at this game. You're getting better.
Okay.
Al, listen to the miserly vote count, though. Like, we've had, like, the Swans, you get 6 billion votes. He won on 68 votes. Like, it's modest by comparison.
2 weeks at, 2 weeks at the Swans, and you don't even have to be best on ground.
So the Tigers are in a transition phase. Clearly, the rebuild is on. New coach. How good are they? It's hard to know. I mean, Dustin Martin is still, like, awesome. Mm-hmm. But
correct.
And Taranto, so I guess their engine room's still pretty good, like, when you look at their midfield. And Nank's a great ruckman. I guess it's just up forward. Because who have they got? I can't even remember.
Tom Lynch, obviously. If Tom Lynch comes back and has a big season,
he's
31. Then I know, but he just had a season off. Like, you know, if he can get his body right, like, he's still
off. That's how you see, like, intensive rehab, a season off.
Well,
he's flying
still
to Germany.
A season off.
What?
In your footy life, he went overseas.
Yeah, got cortisone injections probably.
Probably read some books or something, expanded his mind.
Yeah, so he had a gap year, Tom Lynch's gap year. I just think that they – I don't know. Actually, it's I'm
hard to
wavering
know.
Between, but bottom six, I think lower end of middle six is what I would say. I think there's still enough talent to win some games, but they've got so many kids.
I think that they're a bottom six team, okay. But I think they're going to be right up the top of that bottom six.
Well, that's what I felt too. But you worded it better. hang on.
Hello. Sorry.
Okay, Will, it's time to look at the Port Adelaide Power.
Uh-huh.
Now, new captain, I believe, because the guy they didn't play all of last year was their previous captain.
Yeah, Tom Jones.
So he read the writing on the wall.
Yeah. And the writing on the wall was, you're not welcome here anymore. Please go
away.
We
want a captain, we actually can play. Okay, new captain, same old coach, we both know that. Ken Hinckley.
So, okay, yeah, Ken Hinckley is still the coach. The captain is it one of their young guns? Is it like Zach Butters or Connor Rosie or one of those guys? Zach Butters? No.
I didn't say anything.
No? Okay.
Talk me through it.
Who is it?
It's either Zach Butters or Connor Rosie. I'll give you, that's the clue.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the two people, it's one or two.
Can you name
those
another
guys.
Young player as well?
No, because I was going to name Dersmer and then I realised he's at Essendon.
Horn
now,
Francis.
So it turns out that it couldn't be him. It's too early for Horn Francis. So it had to be one of those two.
Yep.
I don't know. It just feels
you
like.
You might say
so
there's a whole lot of this guy. There's a whole lot of captain.
Is a whole lot of Rosie. Yeah. Rosie's
kind of
the captain.
The captain.
Really?
I was surprised too.
Interesting.
Because I just thought Zach Butters is more of that kind of, you know, like he seems to. He would not imprint himself on games. It sounds dirty. What does he do? He imposes himself. I don't think. It's a bit,
I don't know if that actually sounds
imposes.
Any worse if you're thinking about what sounds dirty though. Like, you know, they both
imposed himself on me. Oh, no, I think imprinting sounds like there's an actual genetic, like, exchange happening.
Yeah, okay. Slightly better, but not much better.
One has a physical connotation. They're both not great.
Okay, well, Rosie, that's interesting because, out of the two, based on the way that they play, you think of the idea that Butters is probably that sort of, dependable, harden up, and Rosie is a bit more of the glamorous, skillful, but... But, you know, that's just if you're judging them on how they play football, obviously, not how
Rosie's another player who I know of, but I can't
If I had to identikit him for the cops, I couldn't. Like, he has short hair. It's brown, light brown. Do you know what his face looks like?
Yeah, dark hair, yeah.
Zach Butters, I can see like very clearly. But yeah. Not Connor Rosie.
Connor Rosie looks like he could be like an indie musician.
Yeah. Is he good looking by football standards?
Yeah, I think so. Connor by football standards, Rosie. I'm going to say. Like he's had a bit of a makeover. He's grown into his looks. He used to like be quite like
I mean, he's fine. He's not like he's not in like Jack Steele, you know, territory or even like Nick Dacos. He's fine. He's good for Adelaide. He's an Adelaide 10. It'd be a 6 in Sydney, but an Adelaide 10. okay. Who was their best and fairest winner last year? Oh, hang on. Let's see how they vote first. Not available.
Yes.
Fox okay. Footy did not get a response from the coaching department.
I'm going to say Butters. Butters would be their best and fairest. Correct. I would have thought, unless they have, yes.
Correct. Who was their second best player?
Rosie.
Yes. And then their third best player, let's just say this guy did not have a problem last year.
He did not have a Jason
Horn Francis. No. They're closing.
Did not have a problem.
Yeah. Who famously had a problem?
If you've got a problem, I'll solve it. Vanilla Ice.
I think my brain is just broken. I can't think of a follow-up clue. It's also the name of a city. I mean, it is the name of a city. Both references refer to a city. Oh, my God. That's terrible. That's the worst I've ever given.
Houston. Houston. It's okay. I get it now.
I'm sorry. I apologize to anyone who had to listen to that. That was awful.
Oh, man. And you know what the worst thing is? That is right up there with the use of a lizard as being one of the most hilarious jokes that AFL commentators will roll out is some variation on Houston having a problem one way or the other. So I apologize to everybody that I missed what is one of the most hilarious jokes of all, which is Houston has a problem.
Well, I have been watching just some old Saints highlights from last year just to sort of refresh my memory about players and stuff like that. And it's fair to say once you've watched about 4 or 5 highlights in a row from different games and you hear Dwayne Russell make the same, Owens the Saint goes marching in. I'm like, oh, I remember hearing that and thinking, oh, that was amazing. That was so good. And then it's like, oh, hang on. He used that one quite a bit. Okay, so where do we think Port Adelaide are going to finish? Anything less than the top four feels like Kenny Eagley might as well just go.
I mean,
it's like Brisbane of last year. If Brisbane didn't make a grand final, and I think that. I think, it's top four or bust, right?
Yeah, but also it's top four. It's a tough position to be in because if they make top four again, which they've done so many times, and then don't make it to the grand final, then isn't that also – I mean, I don't think that should be seen. I think there's a lot of good teams in the competition at the moment, and making the top four, if you can make the top four, is pretty impressive. But if you're Port Adelaide and you've got this team that's getting so close but not being able to go the whole way, then – I mean, it's tough, isn't it? Going into this season, the expectations have got to be minimum top four and the hope's got to be playing in a grand final, I would have thought.
The issue for Port Adelaide, and I think this is relative to any team, like even the Saints face this relative to where they are on the ladder, is that the teams around them feel that much better. Like Collingwood, Brisbane, like even GWS, really.
Like that's my problem I feel like you're doing well, Port Adelaide. I feel like you're having a real crack and you're doing – it's just it feels like everybody else is
better teams.
Doing better.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's like they're not a bad team. It's just that
– but it doesn't feel perfect. They don't feel like a complete team. It feels like, you know
– and Horn Francis with another year could be better. Dacos. Yep. You know, I mean, I think the where I get fooled by Porter, where I think the ceiling is, it's like, oh, well, have their
Like a Rosie and Butters and Aaliyah Aaliyah, are they playing at their abs? Like, are they, you know, in their prime? Is this the kind of ceiling? But then you sort of got to remember, well, even if they don't, that is their ceiling. There is like Horn Francis coming along. There is Willie Rioli. There are other players who can. They're a good team, but I'm not as in love with them as.
Others. I mean, they're a top six team, absolutely. In my, like, I mean, they're my first proper lock where I'm like, yeah, I definitely think they'll make the top six.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. No, top six. I can't see them. They can't have another slow start to the year, although that would be amazing.
I mean, if they don't.
If it was just like an identical
If they don't
start
make the top six, they are in trouble. I think then it gets panic stations all over the shop hairy. If they don't make the top six. But I think they will make the top six. Then it's about how you judge their level of success within that top six, because I'm not sure that they're quite – like they're going to have to find something to get as good as the best teams in that top six, I think.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, we'll just take – well, I've got a bit of mail here and then we can sort of wrap up this episode. This is from Sam and the subject is this a new era at St Kilda? G'day, fellas. It's been discussed and well documented in the past that the Saints have had a predominantly Jack-based squad over recent years. However, I've noticed something interesting leading into this season. Looking at the ins and outs for the squad, it seems to have been a decline in Jacks. Seven in 2023 to only four this season.
Yeah.
And there's been an uptick in Liams. We had only had one in 2023. We now have three in 2024. Is this the beginning of a Liam-based revolution? And is it something we should be paying attention to?
I mean, I think Ross Lyon is more your coach who comes in and he says there's no point having like seven Jacks. Like, it's hard enough for Ross to learn the names of all the players at the best of the times. So he doesn't need to be confused by there being like – he can handle three or four of each name maximum, I would have thought. So I think immediately Ross has come in and they've just gone, there's seven Jacks, and he's gone, we've just got to get rid of three. And they're like, which three, Ross? And he goes, I don't care. Just don't three. Care. Three of them have to go.
Billings, Loney, just dragging out of a hat.
It doesn't really worry me, but I just want three or four Jacks maximum.
I think you're right too. Like, I know you're joking about like Ross not being able to remember names, but there. So one of our young guns from last year, Mateus Filippo, you know, he was Adelaide player. A young player from Adelaide who came over last year and was nominated for the Rising Star. And at the start of the season, he did a bunch of press where people like, is it Filippo, like the tennis player, or is it Filippo? And he's like, no, it's pronounced Filippo. My dad, you know, played for the Bulldogs. Blah 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 blah. And so most commentators made that adjustment pretty quick. You know, most people talking about the Saints, Filippo. You know the one person?
Ross.
Who hasn't corrected? Ross Lyon. And I get the feeling that no one is going to correct him. Not even Mateus himself.
Yeah, Matty Phillips he calls him. He goes, little Matty Phillips.
Come over here. All right, that is two guys, one cup for this week. We'll be previewing other sides next week. I don't have the ladder in front of me, but we're going in reverse order in case you haven't been able to tell. If you want to send us a mail, you can. Two guys, one cup. What is our email address? twoguysonecup@gmail.com.
Go to the website. You can just go to the website and there is a – on our.
Oh, that's the best way to do it. So everyonerelax.co.
And all our podcasts are there. You can send emails to any of the shows. There's a little drop-down menu. You just select which show you want to send your email to and it goes through. And then at some stage, Charlie will like remember to check the emails that we get sent to the show and then he will read some of them out. And I'm not judging, by the way, Charlie doing that because – I don't do that. Like Charlie, when he remembers to do it, is still well advanced of the me who would not even know how to do it if I remembered how to do it.
I mean, in all honesty, I actually forgot we had an email account until I accidentally logged in and there was like 700 unanswered emails from the last four seasons of football. So I'm trying to amend that. So yes, like Will said, you can contact us at everyonerelax.co. While you're there, why don't you check out some of the other podcasts we're doing? TOEFOP is back every Wednesday, Willosophy every Thursday, TOEFOP with Friends at Little Dum Dum Club. We had Tommy and Carl on from Little Dum Dum. You should check out that podcast if you like stuff that is funny and free, which
which it is both.
It is all of those things. And, of course, you can support us on our Patreon page. There will be links attached to everything. We are bulk recording some of these. Obviously, we will get closer to regular episodes coming out the next day when it gets closer to the football season itself. But we're doing our little season preview all in January so that these can be you're getting wrapped up by your daughter who's like, I've had enough of this. Could you please?
My daughter's in the next
you
room.
You know what? I've got a tour. Go and check it out. It's called Willegitimate. Anyway, thank you very much for listening.
It's okay. I just want to say, at first she was complaining, but now she's cheering. Oh, and I think that actually alarms me more. Like, I feel like maybe something has been knocked off the table, something that was annoying her 5 minutes ago. Play on, not 15.
Little
footy loving dickheads, dreaming about a premiership cup. We love our clubs, but they never win. Two flags in 100 years. A shit house, if you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched. To say that's not the case, we'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup.
Listener.